Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 119th episode of the Manor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Roger Bodie, joined as always with my best friend, another co-host, Michael Hamilton. That's how jet lagged I am, Michael. I almost said I'm Michael Hamilton, joined as always with my best friend, another co-host, Roger Bodie. But I'm not Michael Hamilton. The jet lag is hitting me hard. I'm very sleepy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a similar spot, except I have more time that I just got to sleep a bunch during the day today because I got home last night earlier than you, but not super early. I passed out. I woke up at 4 a.m. I'm like, it's like the middle of the day. It's 4 a.m. It's time to be awake. And I got up and I walked around a little bit, used the restroom, laid back down, could not fall back asleep. Then it was up till like noon. And then I fell back asleep for like 4 more hours because, you know, noon, that's the middle of the night in Japan. So
that's like 2 o'clock in the morning right now.
Yeah.
Our time.
Or noon, our time, or noon East Coast time is 2 in the morning in Japan.
Because the daylight savings time happened.
It was 1 o'clock when we left. Yes. Things changed. But yeah. Did you work today?
No.
Okay.
I messaged my work and I was just like, my travel woes continued. So they couldn't find a bag coming back to America in one of my connections. They were like, we're not allowed to leave the airport until we find this missing bag. And it took like 2 hours to track down somebody's bag. Hopefully it wasn't mine. But that caused me to miss my connection. So I wound up just arriving at like Chicago at like 11 o'clock at night. And then I was like, okay, so it's 11 here. It's a 3 hour drive. I can get home at like 1 a.m. But then I forgot there's a 1 hour time difference between Chicago and Indiana. So then I got home at like 2:30 our time after like stopping for gas. I just rented a car because I was just like over it. And they were like, we can fly you out and you could be home by like noon tomorrow. And I wasn't going to sleep anyways because last night was a stressful night for America in general. And so just kept driving, and then news kept getting worse and worse as I was driving. And by the time I was almost home, I was just like, let's not listen to politics anymore. And here we are. I can't even do math. Not like 16 hours later, 15 hours later.
Yeah, I have spent more time on Twitter than I would like the last day or so. And it's just like full of not great stuff, I feel like.
But yeah.
Blue Sky has been pretty positive, so that's nice.
Yeah, Blue Sky is great. You know what else is great? You know, go outside and actually touching grass. I just spent a lot of – the reason why I wanted to come home so early is I just got to come home and spend more time with Angela and Austin. So that was nice, just being able to – spend more time with them. Austin was so excited for his souvenirs. He's got another Japan train that he's super happy to see and play with now. So that's good.
You got him a little wind up Donkey Kong car, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I call it monkey car. He likes his monkey car.
That's awesome.
So he's having a blast with those. I realized I didn't really get myself a souvenir this time.
What would you have gotten if you got something for yourself?
I don't know. That's a great question. I kind of like went to Japan this time. Like there was the Nintendo of America store in Osaka. I went there on Tuesday morning before my flight. And I just kind of looked at everything and I was like, I could just like buy all this stuff online if I wanted to. Like what do I need to buy this here for? Like nothing particularly caught my fancy. So, and then I realized that was kind of just like everything I was looking at, like all the souvenirs and knickknacks and stuff like that. And I was like, but maybe I should have bought them before, you know, all these tariffs kick in. So, oops.
I guess I can still buy them now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's January that the earliest things could happen, right?
Yeah. That's future America's problem.
yeah.
Right now, things are okay for the moment.
Yeah.
But this is not a politics podcast. This is a flesh and blood podcast. So let's refocus our efforts to flesh and blood, which for you was really good. And for me, it was horrendous. So Foster Blood life, real life. At least my personal life's good. I think I've decided that like October, November is just horrendous time of year. I hate this time of year. Nothing good happens between like the end of September and the beginning of December.
I've had a lot of good things happen in that time span, but I don't want to discredit your feelings about it. So do you want to talk about your tournament a little bit?
Yeah. So I played like what, like four cards different than you, like in the world event. And I managed to go 0-3, not winning a game. So that was cool. So I didn't even make it to draft. So I never even had to worry about being good or bad about the format. It's fine. And then I played in the calling and I went back to more traditional new list and then got knocked out by a draw when I had my opponent deterministically dead when time was called. And then I played the calling and went 0-2 drop playing Starbo after getting like just drawing the classic ice, ice, earth, 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 ice, ice, lightning, lightning, generic ice. And it's like, I think I activated Starbo twice in my two rounds. So
that's not enough times.
Yeah, Starbo's not very good when you just attack with Autumn's Touch.
Yeah, if you put all the cards that are played in a Starbo deck and then take away its hero ability, it's like nowhere near playable. It's just hot garbage.
Yeah, I learned that. Learned that the hard way. Especially like if you don't even draw like the ice cards, you just are like, you can't even swing like a relevant hammer, even try to like give him a frostbite. You're just like, like legitimately, I think I attacked with just naked red Autumn's Touch IP'd one. Like... more turns than I would ever be comfortable with.
Yeah. That sucks.
So maybe not a Starvo gamer, but you know.
Yeah, we got some time before, or not a lot of time before the next LL tournament.
If yeah.
We do the Battle Hardened in Columbus in 2 weeks, we don't actually have that much time.
But yeah. I think. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess it's only like a week from when this goes live, like a week and a couple days.
Yeah. I think there would be good reason for me to be like really frustrated, sad, mad, all that stuff at Flesh and Blood right now, but I'm just kind of like chilling. I thought if you would have told me how bad my weekend was going to be like 2 weeks ago, I would have been like really upset because I worked hard for this event, I felt like, and I just felt like though I could have played a bit better, but jet lag was real. I really wish I came a day earlier. Instead of the kind of squeezing it in the way I did. And a lot of things just didn't line up for me. So like, for example, against like my Dashio opponent, like I drew like double blue and then three Count Your Blessings. So I gained like 12 life and they were like, oh, that's really good. And then they just presented like the combo double processor, double maximum velocity turn and dealt like 50 damage to me, so that I just kind of felt silly for sitting there and playing like 2-3 Count Your Blessings. So yeah, that's kind of like in a nutshell of like how a lot of my matches went.
Yeah, I still think that I'm figuring out the new deck, and I don't know if it even makes sense to continue working on it until we see the bans on Monday. I've heard rumors that well, High Octane's almost certainly getting banned, but Count Your Blessings is also like, I'm going to wait to spend more time on it until we hear results about that one.
Yeah. So, but let's get off the negative Nancy over here and talk about the positive Penelope. Okay. The top eight, almost winning 2-time world champion. That would have been cool.
I mean, 3 rounds away is kind of far from almost, but it was definitely a possibility. So... as we talked about last week, I played Count Your Blessings new at Worlds. I was close to locked on Viscerai a couple weeks ago, hard pivoted. There are some costs to doing that, and I think that kind of showed in my top eight match, where I think I made quite a few judgment decisions incorrectly. But we'll get into that in university when we actually watch through the game together and talk through all the decision points. But yeah, I played Count Your Blessings new at Worlds. First day, played 5 rounds of CC. I lost 1 to a Levia. I think they both played very well and rolled quite well on Scabskin Leathers, where I had actually played against Levia twice in the tournament. In round 2, I played against them, against a Levia, and I basically tried to deny the graveyard the whole game. I only attacked with stealth cards. They had Hooves of the Shadow Beast, I think it's what it's called, the draft shoes instead of scab skins. So they did not have the opportunity to basically spend their whole hand each turn by rolling scab skins and getting extra action points. And it seemed like a really good strategy, just attacking with stealth cards, doing that, and denying their graveyard. And then in the next round I played against another Leviathan, I sideboarded the same way. I was like, this is a great strategy, I'm going to try this again. They presented Scabskin Leathers. I didn't realize how much of an impact that shoes choice had until that next round, where it was significantly more than half the turns in the game. They rolled Scabskins because they couldn't really block my stealth cards, or they could, but it wouldn't really accomplish much. And they just rolled Scabskins every turn. And the highlight of the game was one turn they had two sixes and two non-sixes in their discard. And they roll Scabskins and they hit a six. And I'm like, okay. And they attack with Shadow Realm Horror. And I'm like, this makes sense. You're 50-50 to basically brick on this having go again. If you don't roll Scabskins and this is how you're leading your turn, makes sense to roll Scabskins. They hit two sixes to give it go again. I'm like, certainly this action point won't matter. They have three action points. And they managed to spend all three action points plus the go again from Shadow Realm Horror without swinging claw at all. And I took like 30 damage that turn. The game wasn't very close after that. And I kind of just got smashed. I think their strategy was different from my earlier round opponent. On top of presenting Scabskins, they also had Ghostly Visit, and that mattered quite a bit. Having just basically an extra sink every time you roll an extra action point at Scabskins, you get attacked with Ghostly Visit, refill your graveyard. It was very strong. Okay, so after going 4-1 in CC, draft started. I really thought drafts would be like, I guess I thought it would be different than it ended up being. It seemed like in both my pods, and I heard stories of other pods being very similar, where Runeblades were significantly overdrafted. And I actually, in this format, I don't think Runeblades ended up being better than the Wizards. I think that if there's not room in a pod for four people to draft all Arcane Wizards, but there's definitely room to have like one or two Verdances that are like kind of like mid-rangey and an all Arcane, like Acilia or Verdance in the pod, and go 3-5 and be pretty comfortable with that. But neither of my pods ended up like that. In my first pod, I first picked a red Harvest Season, and then second pick, there wasn't any really strong Earth cards, and the best card in the pack was a red Fry by a lot. So I just took a red Fry. I'm like, I don't mind being open, don't mind switching to Aurora or Acilio. I actually, generally when I'm drafting Acilio, I prefer to have some attacks in my deck. I don't like the all Arcane version because I think that you're missing out on a lot of value from the staff.
Bulzor.
Yeah. So then third pick, I get Comet Storm Shock. And third pick, Comet Storm Shock is a pretty big signal. That means the first two people passing me are not wanting to be Acilio, because it's probably the best card in Acilio. Maybe Sigil of Brilliance is better, maybe, but I don't even think that's true. I think I'd rather have Comet Storm than Sigil of Brilliance. So I take the Comet Storm, and it's going to take a lot to get me off Acilio at that point. And that's that. A lot doesn't happen. I keep getting late red zaps. I get a few more good lightning cards, but mostly red zaps. And it turns out I'm the only Acilio in the pod. There ends up being one other wizard, Cody Williams, playing Verdance. And we end up playing in round two and have a really close game. And then I managed to squeak out a 3-0 of that pod, being the only Acilio in a 6 Runeblade 2 wizard pod. It was actually 3 Florian and 3 Aurora. So it was even split between Earth and Lightning. And that kind of explains why I didn't end up with that many good Lightning cards. But I had enough to have a pretty good deck. I had like a red Lightning Surge, I had a couple Sigils, and I had a red Fry, and then I just had some filler Lightning cards as well. And my deck was quite good. I guess I didn't have two Sigil of Lightnings. I had one Sigil of Lightning and one of the rare one that has Arcane Shelter. I can't remember its name. Sigil of Conductivity, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great draft, and I was feeling really good after that. I drafted the open seat, got rewarded, and had a really, really strong deck, and still had some very close, tough rounds, but managed to get the 3-0. Mm. Day two, my draft did not go like that.
Yeah.
My pick one, pack one, I had to choose between Thistlebloom Life and Comet Storm Shock. And in my mind, I'm basically thinking the whole time until they say draft, and I eventually just slam one into my pile. And I'm like, man, if my draft goes anything like yesterday, I would much rather have the Comet Storm Shock. I think that Acilia will be more open, but I do think Thistlebloom Life is a stronger card, and getting one, pick one, pack one, just to start your draft with it, you can really build around it, prioritize life gain pretty highly, and kind of set up these big turns where you gain 6 to 8 life and then play Thistlebloom Life, and that's really hard for most decks to beat. Really hard to beat it in general. So I'm going back and forth, and eventually I decided to take Thistlebloom Life and put it in my pile. I pick a couple life gain cards next. I think I made a couple mistakes in this draft. I think at one point I took a blue Fruits over a blue Cadaverous Tilling, thinking that it matters more to be able to spin my hand against Wizards and have more life gain for my Thistlebloom Life. But towards the end of pack one, specifically in pick 9 of pack one, I see a Comet Storm Shock. And I'm like, oh no, this is the Comet Storm that I opened. It went all the way around the table. No one took it. And that means nobody's drafting Acilio. And at this point, I'm pretty committed to being Earth. I could still be Verdant potentially, but I'm definitely very committed to Earth. And I'm slightly, definitely Runeblade heavier than Wizard. I took a couple blue Runeblade block threes over Wizard block threes to go with my Thistlebloom. And I say, okay, I don't think I could pivot. Sadly, I just take some bad card out of the pack that will that probably makes my deck. I think it was like a yellow block three Runeblade card or something. Mm. And resigned to not be in the open lane and just be in the seat that I took. And kind of in my head, I'm beating myself up a little bit over about taking Comet Storm Shock. But I think in a vacuum, I don't regret the pick. But maybe if I had talked with more people and heard more of the stories about the 7 Runeblade, 6 Runeblade pods, maybe I would do something differently. But I assumed at the X1 table also that these would be the people that drafted Wizards in the earlier pods. Because if you're a 1-of-1 Wizard, you just get an easy 3-0. You're just the only Wizard in the pod. So I kind of assumed that the pod would be more willing to be Wizardy than Runeblade. But regardless, it ends up being a 7 Runeblade pod, 1 Verdance. That Verdance 3-0 is the pod. There's a really weird thing that happens where the last round of the draft... Once I realized how open Wizards were, I started just picking blue block threes really highly because those are really, really valuable in Runeblade mirrors. If you can just block three with a card, that's more value than most cards in your deck can get. So in Fatigue Wars, which Runeblade mirrors are a lot, especially the Florian mirror, then just having blue block threes is really, really good. But in the last round of the pod, I start 2-0 and going into the last round, I get paired against Gregor's Kowalski, which is not the other 2-0 in the pod. I'm 2-0. Rob Catton is also 2-0 in the pod as the only Verdance, and he gets paired into a 1-1 and I get paired into a 1-1. And we basically have it's probably like a 20-minute judge call where all the judge or several of the judge staff are involved. Amanda's there. Amanda wasn't there. She was on her break. We had the other appeals judge. And then LSS staff got involved. Josh Scott eventually came over and talked to us at the end. And they're like, we're not going to change the pairings. We're going to go with what Jem said because they couldn't swap our opponents because the 2-1-1s played each other in round 1 of the pod. And it was a legal pairing, although very weird for a pod to potentially have 2-2-0s, and that is, or 2-3-0s. And that is eventually what happened, where Rob won his game and I won my game as well. So we both 3-0 the same pod, which is really weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Lucky for you.
Yeah, very lucky for me. I managed to play against 3 Runeblades despite the fact that there was a Wizard that was 2-0 in the pod when I was 2-0. And my deck was very good against Runeblades. I had a lot of block threes.
Yeah.
And I had the Thistlebloom combo.
Remember, a key to top 8ing Worlds, have a gem glitch go in your favor. Really helps. Really goes a long way for dodging your bad draft matchups if Jed just glitches out and just gives you a pair down in your draft.
Yeah, I think that ultimately it's not just about... I think ultimately doing well in a tournament always involves getting lucky. Regardless of what happens. And this is a weird way for it to go about happening, but it is the story that what happened to me. I did get lucky to dodge my bad matchup. And I think it was good to draft the deck that would probably 2-1 the pod. I think I was pretty favored against all 3 Runeblade opponents that I beat. And even if you only expect to play against 2 of them, I'm still in a good spot to go 2-1 in the pod.
For sure.
So after that, we moved to CC. I actually do get my match against, or no, I play against Alan Lau on Dio, and fairly early in the game he actually conceded, where I was at like a pretty healthy, like around 30 life. I had gone through like half his deck and I had a decent number of Count Your Blessings in my discard, and I'm a little lower than 30, I think, like in the high 20s. And he like thinks for a while, and there's like 25 minutes in the clock, and he's like, I can see it. I'm like, whoa, oh, okay. I did not expect that, but I was not going to complain. I do think I was almost certainly going to win that game, but he conceded earlier than I would expect. It was a very good game other than that. Then the next round, I get a game against Rob Catton. We kind of joke that he wanted to get revenge on me in the draft, and then I dodged him, and we got to play in CC where I was playing the new deck against Aurora. I believe that match was a feature match, and I don't remember many of the details of it. So I'm just going to say, go watch the feature match if you want to know. I end up winning that one, and then that locks me for top eight.
Yeah.
Then my other two rounds, I don't think I played very well. I played against Mercy on Aurora, and I think I messed up the end game where I got a big Count Your Blessings poisoned when I think it was very avoidable for me in that spot where I just didn't need to cast it. I think I could have deterministically fatigued her without casting it, but I
got lazy.
I would say I got lazy, a little complacent. I remember searching her deck with Bonds, seeing one poison that she used earlier in the game, but she had an arsenal that got crowned away, and I couldn't figure out what card it was. I spent like a minute or two trying to figure it out. I'm like, I don't think it's reasonable for me to take longer than this in a Swiss round to try to figure out what your arsenal is. And I eliminated a few things, and then later she crowned it back into her deck, and I believe, or it was just the second copy of Poison the Well. Mm. And then in the last round of Swiss, I played against Elias. I can't remember his last name, but he was playing Enigma, and I accidentally present the wrong arms.
Yeah.
Played very very sloppy. I think I was still like a little bit in my head from the round before, not playing around Poison the Well when I had room to. I got extremely lucky in that game to be in a very favored position despite presenting the wrong gloves. I think I banished at least one mirror guy off the top of his deck, maybe two. I don't remember exactly, but I felt like everything was going my way. I also didn't get 10k'd with, he had Mage Master boost, didn't get to use him the whole game, and I was at like 13 life with several Count Your Blessings in my discard when they called time in the round. And I felt like I was in a very winning position, but ultimately it didn't really matter. I mean, like, it's much better to win, but I'm locked for top eight anyway. And I think I'm in a favored position, so I didn't concede and he didn't concede as well. So I got a draw that last round, and that was it for Saturday.
Mm. I'm really sad I didn't make it to drafts. I feel like my play lightning would have been heavily rewarded.
Yeah. My first pod had four Lightning Heroes, and my second pod did have three Auroras, but I do think being willing to draft Acilio in my two pods, I was the only one that played Acilio.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a really good spot to be.
It was a good old time. Zap him.
Yeah, like in my second pod, if you see like the fifth pick Comet Storm that's just wheeling around the table, it's like, oh, okay, I get
I'm
it.
I'm in. I mean, if you guys want to die to just a million arcane damage, like, I don't, who am I to argue?
Yeah. And I kind of underestimated Acilio a little bit in early testing. And then at my pro quest, I ended up losing to Acilio twice in the draft pro quest in New Jersey last weekend, or the weekend before Worlds.
Yeah, one of them was to me.
Oh, well, no, that one I also lost to you on Acilio. But
the one
before, the weekend before that, you beat me. But I think I messed that game up. I think maybe I can get there if I make some different lines. But
yeah, that's every game of Flesh and Blood.
Sure. That's why this game's really good, and I think that is actually the case again in most spots. If you have a good deck and you make the right decision, you're going to win the vast majority of your games.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking on that, the top eight game against Sam Sutherland, I think Sam played really well. He did a lot of things that caught me off guard, and I think there's a lot of things that I did that were objectively wrong, and there's some things that it would probably have been slightly better to do something different. And that said, I feel like a lot of that is things that I haven't played new. I literally didn't play new until like 2 weeks before the tournament, a little less than 2 weeks before the tournament. After I saw the CYB Arachne get fatigued by you just basking all his cards away, I'm like, okay, I'll try new. Maybe CYB new is sweet. Maybe we can do some sweet things. And I think it was Monday or Tuesday, whenever I went back to playing after that ProQuest, that was my first games of playing CC new, I think. Maybe I played like a couple games, but even when Mistveil, part of the Mistveil released, I played a little bit of Zen, but I played a bunch of Enigma. I was just like, Enigma's so good. I'm having a good time playing Enigma, and I didn't really pay much attention to New. I felt like the whole, you want to play your opponent's blues, but some opponents aren't going to have blues that are very good for you. It just like didn't make a lot of sense to me. And you're trying to kill everybody, but you don't have a lot of damage in your deck. And there's not a good way to include a lot of damage in your deck. You have a lot of disruption, but you're not very good at killing them. And Icelander, I solved that problem by putting Wounded Bulls in, and can't really put Wounded Bulls into it. It doesn't really make sense.
Maybe.
No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't really fit. So Count Your Blessings New, just being like focusing more on the fatigue aspects of the deck, where you're just like banishing the top card of their deck a lot. Bonds banishes all of a specific threat out of their deck, and then you just run them out of relevant threats. It feels like it makes sense to me, and that's an important part for me to play a deck. If the deck doesn't make sense, I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have so many regrets about that game, but I was really happy for Sam when he beat me. He had a really emotional moment, and it got caught on stream. So if you want to see that, definitely go check that out. And yeah, it's a great weekend. Can't be unhappy top eighting worlds, but I always wish for more, you know?
Yeah. I kind of thinking, do you think I should talk about, you know, the position I was in between you and Sam, the stuck in the middle I was? Do you want to get into that at all? Do you think that's too inside baseball?
You can talk about it a little bit. One of the detriments to testing with a bunch of different people.
Yeah, so I've been pretty much a free agent in the world of New. And basically, if there was a team that was like, hey, do you want extra games? Come join our team. I basically reached out and I was like, yes, I would like more games. I want anybody who has any information about anything related to New. I want to innovate this deck. I want to get as many games into as many different decks as possible leading up to Worlds. I want to make sure I know my New deck as well as possible before changing it last minute between a version that I haven't tested at all. So that means I wound up testing with the Wolfpack, the Team ABC that I believe is ran by Matt McInnes. I know he's on it, but I think it's like his team, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But there's a bunch of good players on it. Kale McCreet's on it. Sam Sutherland's on it, as you know, we'll get to here in a second. And then there was another team Righteous Gaming, that had a handful of people, and they taught me all about the wonders of Eradicate. That was the piece of technology I was trying to use to fatigue people before you came up with Count Your Blessings. And so that's and then also working with Tarek Patel and like the PCG guys on getting games and reps into like their decks and things like that. So that's like four testing teams basically I was working with getting games into. And so the awkward thing about that is, right, like I'm working on New, but obviously Sam was cooking with Dio, but I didn't go and share his Dio technology with the Wolfpack. Obviously, Brody's deck was nowhere near, I think, as tuned as Sam's like deck was, and I think he even admitted as such.
And yeah, he was missing the opticals.
Yeah, and like I played against Sam, and I remember the first time he played like opticals against me, I was like, oh, that's seeing so many cards. He's like, opt. Oh, I want this one. Activate my processor. Draw this high octane. Opt. Oh, draw this one. Draw system reset. And then he was like, oh, he just digs for like the super power cards and like killed me. And I was like, this is so sick. I couldn't believe that. And I never saw it again from any other person ever playing Dio. And like, I can't like go and be like, hey guys, like you should try Monocle out. And even if I did, people are used to me just being wrong about everything all the time with my crazy ideas. And so there's not really a point to it. So it was one of those things where like I got testing into Sam's hyper processed Dio deck. And then the Wolfpack was cooking with Viscerai, so I think they had the best version of Viscerai outside of, I guess, Yanji and Noah's really innovative list, which I obviously didn't get testing into. But yeah. Long story short, I knew a bunch of information about both how you would play the matchup in top eight and how Sam would play the matchup in top eight. And I would listen to you and you'd be like, I think he's going to do this and this and this. And then I would just try asking you a question. I think the one question I asked you was like, well, how do you think Monocle is going to change the matchup? And you were like stressed and you're like, dude, if you're not going to tell me the answer, don't even ask me the question. And then at that point it was like, okay, I'm going to leave. Yeah. And then I just got dinner by myself and hung out by myself. And the next morning I was hanging out with Sam, and he's like, oh, I think Michael's going to do this and this and like try to like fatigue me and board in all his D reacts and play like a super fat deck and maybe take out all of his count your blessings. And I was like, that sure is a strategy he could do, but that obviously was not the strategy you did do. And so it was just a really awkward spot for me to have like so much inside knowledge for like how you two would approach. Cause like, what are the odds that any one person of all these testing teams winds up making top eight, let alone two people that I got a lot of games into with like very specific decks, then also break their decks and then make top eight specifically? Like, it's such like a niche thing to happen, and was not a foreseen consequence that I would have anticipated going into my world testing tour, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes sense. It did seem really awkward for you, and I'm sorry if I was a little bit
frustrated. Tensions were high. I got it. Yeah.
But
I did my best to only state things that I thought could be publicly derived. So like for Sam, I was like, Sam, if you want to know Michael's thoughts on the deck, we just released the podcast. Go spend 45 minutes and just watch, or 30 minutes, however long it was that we just watched the podcast, and you will actually get a decent amount of knowledge about like how Michael thinks about the deck. So yeah.
Oh, that was a good podcast. I like that one.
Yeah, but shout out to Sam. Great job. I really like Sam. I enjoy getting to know him over the past couple months. Shout out to everybody on Team ABC, Rigeus Gaming, the PCG guys. Really like them. And the Wolfpack. I don't know if I'll keep this world tour testing going, but I definitely learned a lot, that's for sure.
Yeah. I didn't go nearly as wide of I didn't cast nearly as wide of a net as you did for testing for this. I mostly tested with the Wolfpack, though. The days before, you were like, hey, is it okay if I share my Count Your Blessings deck with Tark? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I actually, you talked to me a lot about the new Enigma matchup. And then you're like, yeah, Tark showed me these things. And I'm like, I definitely should talk to Tark too, because he's been playing new a lot longer than me. And we had a little group chat with the three of us, and I feel like I picked up a few nice insights, even though he ultimately did not register Count Your Blessings. It's probably for the best, like something you're familiar with.
Yeah, who would do such a thing? Oh well, that's fine. I have no regrets.
Okay, but what else do we want to talk about?
So high octane Count Your Blessings getting banned. That seemed to be the hot topics.
I think high octane Brian basically said as much. He told Sam, he's like, you don't think I'm gonna let that card stay after your round 15 performance, where I believe Sam killed Matt Rogers from like 50 life on like turn wild. Two or three of the game. Yeah. It was very early. He set up items one turn and then the next turn. I don't think he set up a lot of items. I think he just had like maybe like a core.
I think he started the game, yeah, with like a core.
Monokai or something.
Yeah. No, not even a monocle. I think he started with like just a core and then went like processor off the top, boost card into the tutor card, into spark, and then it was like then he had three processors out, and then he played a system reset, and then the game was just like over.
Yeah. I believe he cast two high octanes at the start of that turn and hit the third one pretty early as well too. Yeah. Which is like, man, Dio does some pretty crazy things. It was like it kind of reminded me of Kano, where like sometimes they like have this intricate pitch deck set up where they're just like, all right, we're second cycle, you're taking like a million damage now. But sometimes you just like randomly activate Kano and you hit Tome and you're like, okay, let's see where this goes. Activate Kano again, hit another Tome. Oh, you're dead.
As a wise man once said, when you're hot, you're hot.
A puzzle league.
So those seem to be the two cards that the community is like most upset with at the moment. Although I think arguably, despite high octane like having the super powerful ceiling combo turn that Sam had, community fervor, hatred, ire, frustration with Count Your Blessings, sky high. And I think that's ultimately the reason it's going to get the ban. I think power level, I'm still like whatever on it. And I think the format could easily adapt to ways to play around it. Maybe it's a little shitty if like you always have to have 2 to 3 copies of Gravekeeping, which I think is the best answer for Count Your Blessings decks, especially like decks like Enigma specifically, where if you just play 1 or 2 Gravekeepings and banishing 1 to 2 copies, that's just so much net life you're preventing them from gaining. And it's just something you could do proactively as opposed to being like, aha, I got to like clog my arsenal for like six turn cycles and hope they play into my poison the well, or hope my poison the well just so happens to line up with one of their count. Like, I think people who try to play answers like that, I get how it can be like this frustrating game of cat and mouse that doesn't really seem to line up, but I don't think you have to play that game of cat and mouse. You can just play Gravekeeping and like, it'd be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Like, traditionally the way that you beat fatigue decks isn't by like having a hate card for their life gain sitting in your arsenal. You really need to be playing like strong five card hands to push damage, and playing Poison the Well doesn't really allow you to do that. If you're trying to sit on it in arsenal, you're going to have to play hand to hand. You can't really set up nearly as much as if you have access to your arsenal. And I think Gravekeeping, especially out of Aurora, Gravekeeping is a very clean answer to Count Your Blessings. You just, they play, they've got two or three Count Your Blessings. You use a Gravekeeping and banish one of them. That's going to cost them like six life over the course of the game. So Gravekeeping is worth 11 value in terms of either counter fatiguing or just in terms of like their total life total being lower.
Yeah, for sure. And even still, I still think new is like the one Count Your Blessings deck that even like makes sense to me on paper. I know Count Your Blessings Enigma just won worlds, but like, I just don't think it's, I still think new overall is just a better Count Your Blessings deck.
Yeah, I'm very happy with the deck that we both brought to Worlds, the Count Your Blessings new. I think that it makes sense. I think that ultimately I wish I had much more experience playing new and playing specifically the Count Your Blessings version of new. But
yeah, and I think it's one of those things where some of my old heuristics punished me, basically, where like I would play into like, I don't think I like conserved like disruption as well as I could have in some spots where it's like, okay, I'll just use this card now because like I'll just have more disruption coming off the top, and then I hit those like all Count Your Blessings turns, I don't have the disruption, and I'm like, I die, and it's like like I probably could have managed resources earlier at like a different point in the game or played to like my outs better, but like because I was just so used to the deck functioning in a very particular way, I didn't fully anticipate to like how it not functioning in that way like needed to like change a lot of my lines probably.
Yeah. Drawing Count Your Blessings instead of Weakest Link is leads to very different play patterns.
Yeah, or like a race face or whatever. Yeah,
sure, whatever, 2 for 6 disruptive attack.
Yeah, but yeah, community hates Count Your Blessings. I hate it. It's just, it's constant blue sky Twitter, pick your Discord, anywhere you go, people are just like, it's the most toxic card that's ever been thing, blah 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 blah. And it's like, okay, well, like I'm not gonna, I could say I'm fine with it, but ultimately I'm clearly not swaying anybody's opinion on it. And if the community really hates it that much, just ban it. Fine, whatever. We can move on with our lives.
Yeah, I was really looking, like, I kind of joked with Michael Fogg before the tournament that this tournament was like prep for Portland, if nothing else, because like I'm playing this new deck and I want to play it at Portland as well. So I'm going to be pretty bummed if it gets banned, this ban announcement. I can't play the deck that I worked on for Worlds, but I won't be able to play at Portland, and it kind of sucks to like build a whole deck and get to play it at one event and make some mistakes and not get a chance to play it again for me. So
yeah, basically be like, if like, I guess maybe Icelander isn't the best example because you did win with Icelander, but like after Icelander like did well, or Bolander, they like banned Wounded Bull, and it's like, oh yeah. Okay, like, all right.
I think it'd be like, so last year at Worlds I played Bravo, and I think the deck was very good. I still stand by my choice for Worlds, but I didn't do the best at Worlds. I think I made some inexperienced mistakes against Azalea. I messed up a couple turns in my game against Dio or Birdie playing Dio last year, and I didn't do amazing in draft. I think I 2-1 both my drafts, and that was it for me at Worlds. I think I top 32'd or something, but it would have been like if that got something banned out from it, where I'm like not super happy with my performance because of mistakes I made, not an issue with the deck. But instead, I got to play at the Realm 20K, where I got to have the round against Ethan, where I rolled all the scabs for him and died to scab skin leathers. Mm-hmm. And then I got to play it at the Battle Harden that we met in the finals of. And that made it feel a lot more like satisfying, that even though I didn't have the Worlds finish that I was hoping for, I still got to play my deck for a while afterwards. And it wasn't just like spending all this time prepping a deck and then it being banned out in 1 week or after one weekend.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's, I expect High Octane and Count Your Blessings to go. But apparently Count Your Blessings is broken in Living Legend now. Count Your Blessings old time getting second place in the Battle Harden.
I don't think Count Your Blessings old time is broken in LL. I think that like all fatigue decks, you just need like the reps against them. People aren't really prepping for fatigue in LL because the decks are just stronger and harder to fatigue. So like, just don't need to prep for it as much. But we saw Xavier take second place on fatigue old time, count your blessings. And I think he said specifically after the tournament, he's like, yeah, I think basically every deck has a good shot at beating it. It's just, you have to be prepared for it. You have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Every deck, maybe there was one that he might have said every deck except one thing, but I don't remember what the one thing was.
I don't know. Icelander, because it's unplayable.
Oh, yeah. Icelander. That is what he said. Icelander is not.
I see three red Summers Fall, and I'm like, yep, it makes sense why you can never lose Icelander, because it's like, oh, I will decompose and put these Frost Hexes anywhere else. Okay.
Even if. Like, the Frost Hex combo only does, like, 50 damage if you have everything set up, the energy potions, all three Frost Hexes, you strip their whole hand with Insidious Chills, and then you Ice Eternal them for a bunch. And if you're not leaking very much damage before that, it's just, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
And then Summer's Falling them away just means too bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's, I have this deck list up now, I'm trying to see if there's any other spicy technology floating around in here. Nope, just... lots of, I didn't realize this was a thing. There's a copy of Awakening floating around in here for your Count Your Blessings deck, which is a interesting choice, I think.
Yeah, I don't know the details of the list. I'm not sure what all of its game plans are. I don't know if it's just hard fatiguing every single matchup. I imagine that doesn't seem like you could ever beat other Guardians if you're just like trying to hard fatigue with Count Your Blessings.
I don't know, there's a million D-reacts in here. I think there's three red staunch, three red turn timber, three blue staunch.
Yeah, maybe that's not actually accurate. Maybe you can just fatigue the other Guardians if you have enough life gain and enough
Oasis Respite. Tools. Yeah, like I don't know how Starbo gets through. Like he did beat Lucas Oswald on Starbo, right?
Yeah.
Because that was his path. He beat Brody on Chain. Despite me teaching
that makes sense.
All the secrets of the matchup.
What are the secrets?
Invert Existence can target anything in a graveyard, so you can banish Count Your Blessings. Yeah. And it's just like, okay. But yeah, apparently in Swiss, Brody looked at since now you're allowed to separate your graveyard, the Count Your Blessings were in a separate pile, and then Brody looked through his opponent's graveyard and then banished two, like, Oasis Respites or something, just two random cards for like no reason, just to cast like a blood deck card, and then didn't banish his opponent's Count Your Blessings. So like, oops
indeed.
Yeah. I also wasn't playing Rampart, which I'm sure that also changes things quite a bit, but Slagmite's broken, man. I don't know.
Slagmite is very good. I think that unless your opponent's breaking the chain, Slagmite's going to be better than Rampart. But if your opponent breaks the chain, they attack, you block with Rampart, then they break the chain. Rampart looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's fair.
That free plus one. The free second block.
Yeah.
Yeah. LL, I think, is in a pretty interesting spot where I know Chris Yawley was like 6-0 at one point on Viscerai. And I think Viscerai seems really, really good. He got so many new tools and... he gets access to Rosetta Thorn, Belittle, whatever you want to be doing. So I, if I was playing a LL tournament, I'd probably play Viscerai. I know we've been working on Lexi a little bit too. Lexi's pretty cool too. Doing some Death Dealer Snapshot combos.
Yeah, I might take Lexi to the Battle Harden if I go. We'll see.
But I don't know. I really hope Count Your Blessings doesn't get banned. I want to play new in Portland and I don't know what I'm doing.
Just play Count Your Blessings new in Living Legend. Easy.
I was already worried about Count Your Blessings power level. I don't think I don't think CYB new is a LL powered deck. I think LL decks need to be reasonably stronger than CC decks.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, play Dio in LL.
It's one of those things where you ask me like, well, what do you get? And I was like, Plunder Run ? And then that was
no thanks.
Drone of Brutality in your deck that wins every fatigue matchup anyways. Okay.
No, thank you. you get less warmonger's diplomacy. Your deck probably just gets worse.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, it's probably actually just actually worse than Living Legend. But
yeah, like if you were going to play, it's definitely worse than the current CC deck. If CYB gets banned in CC, then maybe it's better. But
yeah, I'd still rather play CYB new over Icelander in L at this point. I think that's saying something.
I think it makes sense. Icelander just like doesn't
do anything anymore.
Yeah, they. I think blues keep getting stronger, which is bad for Icelander when they keep printing more and more good blues. And I honestly think I was still really surprised when Icelander LL'd. I didn't think she was in a very good spot. But
yeah. Is what it is. But yeah, now you got your Portland thing, but I'll be cooking some Living Legend. If not for the Battle Hardened, but for Chicago coming up. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I think my plan is to keep putting on my scuba gear just because LL is such a deep format. And it's just like, there's so many things. Like, I think you just mentioned the snapshot Death Dealer Lexi build that, you know, we've been cooking with. And it's like, that was a combo that existed like forever ago that like was floating around, but like, was kind of forgotten about to the sands of time because it was never good. It was never the best way to play Lexi. And because there were, especially after Ball Lightning was banned, there was like three good lightning cards.
Yeah, it's funny because for the, I think the first ROM event that we played in, ended up being won by Belittle Briar, I think. But anyway, that ROM event, I was getting ready to play Snapshot Death Dealer Lexi at it. And eventually I'm like, okay, I gotta try this Lightning Voltaire deck before I play the Snapshot deck. And I'm like, oh no, this is just better.
Yeah.
So, and that was before Outsiders was out and Lexi got all the cool new toys. But yeah, it was a good time. Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know if I'll actually play it for an event, but definitely want to make sure that there's nothing being missed. I think I brewed a Bolton deck.
Wait, I played a game against it. I flipped up Pulse of Bolt Haven and gave you a Frostbite.
And I was like, I lose. Like, I'm done. My deck's cooked.
You're like, I thought you were a lightning deck. Why are you giving me Frostbite? I'm like, come on, man. They've got three ice cards in the deck. Three total, not three copies of, or three ice cards with three copies each. I have three total ice cards in this that deck. And you're like, I can't beat it. It's too much ice.
Whole turn just fell apart instantly. It was just like, oh no. Bolton still not good in Living Legend probably, but you know at least we know that now.
What does Bolton get in L? He gets Art of War, but do you even?
Oh yeah, you get Art of War because remember Ellie was playing that like Art of War with the new chess piece from his armory deck that you crack it and then all your yellows cost one less until in a turn, so you get to cast like Art of War and be the Vanguard for free that turn, and then you just kind of like do a thing. I wanted to see if it was good in Living Legend. Cast your yellow Belittle for free. You know, do it.
I do like casting Belittle.
Yeah.
That is a card I'm a fan of. Can we get that in our Death Dealer Lexi deck? Can we get some Belittles in there?
I thought we talked about this.
You talked about Stubby
Hammers. Oh, yeah. It's the same concept, though, right? Like,
if we get Belittles in there, Stubby Hammers looks better, right?
So we just reshape the whole deck. We're going back to the kitchen.
Blue Heaven's Claws. Boom. We're there.
Just swap out all the good red lightning cards for the yellow ones, and then they're all threes that go up to fours, you know?
Red Ball Lightning reveals to Belittle. We can get some red fries in there. Is that better than Yellow Ball Lightning? Probably not, but we could put it in.
And we can block with Ball Lightning and fry and then somersault them back to
Yeah, that is a legal play. They both block. They both have a block value.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll cook. I'm sure there's other cool things floating around in that format. It's super deep. The cards you can play are super unique. I just want to make sure that there's not some hidden gold in them there hills in Living Legend.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Especially considering every time I ask anybody any opinion about Living Legend, they're like, oh yeah, this deck's broken. Oh yeah, you should totally be playing this deck. And I'm like, oh yeah, how many games have you played? They're like, I haven't tested the format at all. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there's never been, or this is the first time that there's going to be an event that's bigger than a Battle Harden for the format, as far as I know. I believe that's true. I know the Battle Harden in Barcelona had like the really fancy prism statue thing as a reward that kind of like upped the stakes a little bit, but I still don't think we've had a calling level event yet. We've just had Battle Harden. So getting a calling for LL, hopefully some people put some time into working on decks. I know I'm already putting time into it. Well, I'm waiting to see if my precious Count Your Blessings new gets banned out or not.
Yeah, we'll see.
So.
But yeah, good stuff ahead. And I guess other good stuff ahead, you know, even if you didn't get your new deck forever, at least Arachne's waiting for you right around the corner, and like 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 Arachne's around you for the corner.
I think there's like 6 of them, but I guess we'll see.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think if CYB new gets banned, or if CYB gets banned, I'm probably done with new. I really don't like the aggressive package. I don't think it fits what makes sense to me in terms of what you're trying to do.
Just use Eradicate, dog. I showed you the way. We'll just go back to the Eradicate packages.
You could put Eradicate in your Count Your Blessings deck, and it just didn't seem good enough.
Yeah, because you had Count Your Blessings, but now you get Eradicate instead.
I don't think those trade one for one. I guess you get Sigil Solace, you get Eradicate, you just like, and then you get some bad blue like Sith or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you get red Arcane Polarity. It's done. Easy.
Yeah, I tried that card. Even against Viscerai, where you want it. Sometimes you're just like higher life than them, and they're like, nice. They got a Reaping Blade. You go Arcane Polarity, gain 0.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive I cast Arcane Polarity. I was like above the Viscerai in life. I'm like, yep, go back to 42 from 42. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, I believe that.
But I didn't want it back in my deck, so I didn't overpitch it.
I guess as far as the Hunted is concerned, I'm not hyped for it, and I'm not unhyped for it. I'm just like confused. And I think like that's one of the downsides to like showing half the set's mechanics and heroes and stuff like that. It's like, okay, cool. I get Draconic Warrior, like, he's going to attack with daggers based on the spoilers. Cool. That sounds like something interesting. Like, cool. We've seen Draconic Ninja before. It'll be interesting for the first time in Classic Constructed to have two of the same class talent combination heroes be legal at the same time. I don't believe that's ever happened before.
I mean, we've had two Elemental Guardians legal at the same time, but one had a third essence.
Oh, yeah. That's like not.
That's basically a different talent.
Yeah, that's not the same thing. It is kind of the same thing, but it's like...
Technically, it is the same thing, but yeah,
it's just like there was no reason to play the one that only got 2 out of 3 while the one that got 3 out of 3 existed.
Sorry, old time.
Yeah.
He still got Living Legend since the other guy was gone, or shortly after.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll be weird, especially seeing like how they're going to differentiate between Fi and this new hero thing.
I don't even know what Fi's specialization is.
It's like Red Hot, and the other one that he and Dromai shared or whatever, that like if it's played on Chain like Billion, then maybe get some marginal cool effect and it costs like 18 resources.
If him and Dromai share it, how is it a specialization?
It's a shared spec. It's a Fi and
Dromai. I really don't remember this. Gosh.
Let's see here. Red. I know one of them is Red Hot. Dromai or Fi specialization. Cost 2. Has 4 power, 3 block, rupture. If Red Hot is played at chain link 4 or higher, it has, when you attack with this, reveal the top X cards of your deck, where X is the number of draconic chain links you control. Deal damage equal to the number of red cards revealed this way to any target, then shuffle.
And it's pretty awkward because it costs 2 and it wants your deck to be full of red cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, new guy can't play that, so...
Yeah, I don't even remember what the other one does. I only know this one because I think this one sort of maybe showed up a little bit sometimes somewhere. Yeah, I remember seeing this card floating around, I think, at one point.
Yeah, Dromai's Refurnacing to cast this in Mono Red Dromai for a little while.
Yeah, but couldn't tell you what the other one is. I could look it up, but like...
Who cares?
It's the same thing. It's shared.
If our viewers know, they know.
Yeah,
if they know, you know. Well... They don't.
That's fine. Some game text, that's for sure.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do and what the new heroes do. I do think Fi's hero power is pretty strong, especially in combination with Searing Emberblade. So we will... I don't know. We'll see what the new ninja does. It wouldn't surprise me if the new ninja comes out and Fi is actually just like good again with the new cards.
Yeah. But especially when spoiling something that's just like so out there, like this Arachne, it's just like, I can't get hyped for it because I don't even know what this thing is. Like, it's just like, it's, there's a bunch of Arachnes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, what happens if it's like at the start of your turn, if you're at one or less life, you know, flip into an Arachne, and it's just like this weird, horrible mechanic that like is balanced around some, like, I guess like I'm being a little uncharitable that like they would make something like really, really, really bad. But it's just hard to like get excited for something that you don't know anything about, I guess is my main point I keep rehashing at this point.
The last couple sets have been bangers. Limited format's been great. The contract format's been pretty good, except for Zen being a little bit of an outlier.
Yeah. That's another thing I can't wrap my head around. Like, how does this billion Rackney thing work in Limited? Does it?
I don't know. There's just the regular Chaos Arachne that just gives all your stuff. Or
what does that mean?
The Chaos Arachne? Haven't you read the new spoiler Arachne? It's just like a regular hero. It's a Chaos Assassin hero, adult hero. Starts with 38 health. The first stealth attack each turn gets go again.
Yeah, but what is, I guess, like...
It's just a talent.
You just start the game as that hero?
Yeah. It'd have a different label if not. That's just his talent.
Oh, see, like, that's how little I can, like, wrap my head around this. I thought, like, it was, like, one of the million Arachnes.
Now, I expect these other Arachnes will probably function like demi-heroes if they are there, or they'll just be, like, attack actions or something for now, or allies. We'll see. Maybe hire them with silver. I don't think you hire them. I don't know if you'd hire
them.
They
do just say agents of chaos. I guess they could be allies. Yeah. Maybe you nailed it with that one. Okay. We'll see. All right. I can buy it. I think you had hit the nail on the hammer there. I think these are allies. You elucidated me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say high expectations. I feel like the last two sets have been very good, and
yeah,
I think
you have low expectations
as well. Okay. You don't want to say high expectations.
High expectations, so you have low expectations.
I'm like middle expectations. High hopes, middle expectations, not low expectations. I think I would not be very dedicated to Fab if I had low expectations in the future.
That's true. I'm so happy you put that. For those who don't know, there was a section on the world profile that just was like, how are you feeling right now? And Michael had filled out every other section on the piece of paper. He's like, I don't know how I'm feeling right now. And I was just like, Michael, you have to put dedicated. You're feeling really dedicated right now. He's like, no, I can't put that. And I was like, yes, you have to put that. And then I think Ryan was nearby and he was all for it. And you're like
the two devils on my shoulder. Put dedicated.
And you're like, I need a neutral third party. And then I was like, okay, I'll call over the neutralist, most also wholesome Michael I know next to the other Michael. Michael Fung came over. I was like, should Hamilton put dedicated for how he's feeling? And he's like, yes, that's great. And then you're like, okay, we're all on board. And then you put it.
Feeling dedicated.
Yeah. I talked to James for a quick second, just in between things while he's walking around. Between all the events, I didn't make the time to sit down and like do like a full like meet and greet with him. But I did thank him for calling you out a little bit, because I was like, I need to make that meme. I guess I've only been home for like 12 hours, and I didn't really have my photo editing software with me, but I wanted to make the meme of like him like saying like, and Michael Hamilton needs to read it, get like a screenshot of that conversation, and then below that Photoshop like your head on top of Michael Jordan and be like, and I took that personally. Like, that's the meme I want to make, the I took that personally meme. I feel like that's okay. Like a, because it motivated you started testing real hard after that. I got a lot of games with you in the morning.
I was testing anyway, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. I think.
And sometimes you just need a little fire lit under you.
Yeah, or a little fire lit under the books that were breaking the CC format that I knew and loved.
Yeah, well, you know, the format's sweet now.
Yeah, well, it is. And I don't think, like, looking at the Amsterdam metagame, I'm sure that was a good tournament to participate in. People had a lot of fun. There were some great results, but I didn't want to play either of the decks that were viable. Yeah. Now the format's great. It's so open. And I can count your blessings anew for at least 9 more days until the bands go live. And hopefully more than that. But we'll see.
We will see. Okay. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up here then, Michael?
Japan's sweet. I didn't really talk about it, but I'd never been to Japan before. It's a really cool place. Probably going to go back sometime.
I feel like it was a little ruined for me because Osaka's cool, but like, it's not the futuristic, dense everything everywhere all the time that Tokyo is. Like Tokyo, I felt like everything and anything you could possibly ever want to do was always like 15 minutes by like train, and like everything was like super dense and there were just like a million options for anything you could possibly want, always like super nearby. And Osaka was a little bit more, I guess, like suburban-y. It was still like an urban environment, but like things were a little bit more spread out. The streets were definitely nowhere near as packed. Like I think we were walking at like Osaka at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon or like evening and stuff like that. Like when people be like leaving work and things like that, like peak rush hour time in Tokyo, where like I'm literally stuck in like a sardine can walking down the street. And like, there was like one or two people walking down the street. So
yeah.
But yeah, it was a good time. Had fun in Osaka. Definitely did a lot of walking, probably lost a lot of weight. Now it's time to get back to my American stationary lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Sit in my car a lot.
I like walking.
I like it. It's just not how we do things in America.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for me. I'm ready to call it there.
Okay. Well, the next time you're not walking in America, especially to the voting booth, always remember, mind your manners. Thanks for watching.